It's the fourth hour, first up here on TSN 1050. We stream worldwide, tsn1050.ca, on the iHeartRadio Canada app. And you should subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes, not only for Carlo and I, but to hear great guests like our man Mike McIntyre, who joins us on the line now to discuss the Shapovalov-Nadal match last night. And you know Mike as the host of the Matchpoint Canada, the official podcast of Tennis Canada. Welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I want to apologize in advance if I drift off. It's only because I feel like a zombie after staying up so late watching that epic match between those guys.
No kidding. And it went five sets. I mean, Shapo was down 2-0. It wasn't looking good at all, but did he ever rally back, taking the third and the fourth and ultimately, unfortunately, not able to get it done in the fifth with Nadal prevailing. But, I mean, you have to be impressed with what you saw from Shapovalov against an all-time great last night. It's clear that he's progressing to the point where he's going to be a legit contender at all of the slams. Would you agree, Mike?
Well, that's exactly it. And, I mean, at some point, these big three guys of Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic have to retire and give other people a chance, right? I mean, the clock ticks for all of us. So I think we're getting closer, and we saw that last night. Shapo, who's only 22, looked nervous out of the gate, to be perfectly honest, and that's understandable. Like, even though he's played Nadal five times or four times before, this was at a major. It's the difference between, like, a regular season hockey game and a playoff game, right? The excitement and the pressure is just that much more. And so he looked nervous in the first set, settled down in the second. It wasn't until late in the third set that he broke Nadal to take that set, prolong the match. And in the fourth, Nadal finally started looking like a 35-year-old out there with a lot of miles on his body as the double faults were creeping up. He was looking tired. He was laboring, called out the trainer at one point. But in the fifth, you know, those old man skills kind of came into play for the Spaniard. And he closed him out pretty quickly in the final frame.
Mike, not everybody got a chance to stay up and watch that epic five-set match that Shapo unfortunately did not win. But as you had just described, Shapo goes down two sets early. He battles back, ties it at 4-4. And a controversial play by Nadal calling for the trainers. What did you make of that? Was that really him laboring through something, or was that part of his strategy to either catch his breath or slow Shapo down?
Hey, look, as somebody who recently turned 40, I can totally relate to having issues as you're trying to get through an athletic event, even if it's beer league hockey for me. But for Nadal, I don't think he's the type of guy who plays games. He's well respected. He's a classy dude. There was an incident earlier in the match that really riled up Shapo, and it was right after he lost the first set. He got upset with the umpire, who he thought was giving Nadal too much time to get set for the start of the second set. I mean, in tennis, you have to play to the server's pace, and Dennis was ready to serve. And even though he was only down a set, he totally lost it and told the umpire, he said, "You guys are all corrupt," which is never a good idea to pick on the officials early in a match like that. I mean, Serena Williams got heavily penalized. We saw at the U.S. Open a few years ago for sort of laying into the referee like that as well. So I just thought at the time, like, Dennis, this is not a good look, man. You got to focus on the tennis. Let your racket do the talking. And it seemed to kind of fire him up, almost like a John McEnroe back in the day, because as we said, he won the third and the fourth sets. But those are the kind of things that I think Shapo needs to do away with, just to focus on the tennis, to calm down, and to stay on task.
Our guest is Mike McIntyre. He's the host of the official tennis podcast of Tennis Canada. Of course, Matchpoint Canada is the pod. And tonight, you mentioned it was a late night. I guess it's going to be an early morning for you tomorrow, Mike. 3:30, Medvedev, Ože Aliassime. And that match will determine who will go to the semifinal on the other side. Of course, we know it'll be Nadal versus Berrettini. And we'll get to my boy Matteo in just a moment. But what chances do you give Ože Aliassime in this one? He is a huge underdog when it comes to the betting line. Do you see it the same way?
Well, what chances do I give myself being able to stay up a second night in a row?
Like, no, you go to sleep. We wake up early. Mike, it's easy. You go to sleep around 10, you watch some Ozark, and then you wake up for the match, and maybe we could catch a little nap afterwards.
All right. I'll try and take your advice and see how it works out. But
Or just watch a Tarantino movie. You can fall asleep.
Oh, you know, I was going to make a reference at some point, guys, to compare last night's match to, like, Kill Bill or something bloody like that. You know, it's just an absolute battle between those two. I think Felix, obviously, if you get to this stage of a major, you've got a chance. I don't care what the betting line says. But he's going up against Medvedev, who's the number two ranked player in the world, the number one seed with Djokovic out of this tournament, and a guy who's just been playing fantastic tennis over the last year. So he's 3-0, Medvedev, against Felix in his career. Felix has never beaten him. So it is more of a lopsided one. But obviously at this stage, and I think we're seeing a different Felix Auger-Aliassime this year. Him and Dennis started the year by winning that international competition, the ATP Cup. And you could tell the two of them got a lot of confidence from that, and they've sort of, you know, put that into their next event here in Melbourne. So I'm giving Felix a chance, but he's up against, for sure, the toughest guy left in the draw.
After this, whoever wins this match faces Italian Marco Berrettini, who just beat Gael Monfils.
Matteo Berrettini, bro. Come on, that's our boy, Matteo. Marco's your brother.
Marco, Matteo, in Italian, it's the same thing, man.
Hey, paella, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you label as, like, a favorite with the remaining guys that are left?
Yeah, Medvedev really stands out for me, and Nadal especially. I mean, I put him up there. How could you not? He's a 20-time major winner, and he's looking to make history. If he wins this event, he'll have the all-time Grand Slam record among the men with 21. So he's got that added incentive and motivation. But at 35 years old, and after what he just went through against Shapovalov, how do you recover from that like you would if you're in your early or mid-20s, like a Medvedev on the other side of the draw? So I think it's heavily favored towards the Russian at this point. But you've got other names in there who are also looking to prove themselves and show that, hey, it's our time now, and the big three have had theirs.
Well, who came up with the schedule at the Australian Open, giving Nadal 2 days off? Now he gets to rest up. They don't play again until Friday. That's when Nadal would take on our boy Berrettini, Carlo.
And ratings. Ratings is what gave
it's
him.
It's disappointing because if I was scheduling off this, I would make the play, you know, a little bit later today or maybe tomorrow. No rest for Nadal.
Aussie Open is not for the weak at heart. You know, you've got to be ready for this sort of thing. And hardcore tennis fans are following. I just think it's unfortunate that we can't get casual tennis fans or sporting fans to see these matches at regular times, because we're on the cusp of a great era of Canadian tennis, the best we've ever seen. And you've got Felix and Dennis, who are just these two super exciting yet polar opposite young players who are going to entertain us for the next decade on the women's side. You guys know we've got Bianca Andreescu, Leila Fernandez. Tennis has never been this good in Canadian history. It's a shame that most people can't see it, save for the highlights right now.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch that 3:30. I got a debate. I guess I'm just going to have to wake up early and watch Felix and Medvedev. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. I'm watching the highlights of the Shapo-Nadal match. I love Shapovalov, man. The racket plays this. Oh my God! It's John McEnroe. This guy is the modern day version of John McEnroe. He is an absolute snapshot.
You're corrupt,
and I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that he's Canadian. I love the fire that he shows. And you know, it's obviously you can see the frustration and you know the disappointment with his loss, because you know he puts himself in that position to potentially win, but. Man, the fire this guy shows when he loses. He just snapped. Like on the final play, he hit the ball out of bounds while he was at, or out of, or beyond the baseline while he was at the net. And he just turns around and just smashes his racket.
Snap show. I'm sure you play some tennis, Mike. You ever have any incidents where you break your racket before?
Yeah, look, when I was younger, I had a bit of a temper before I made a few rackets look like that one from Shapovalov. And, you know, my favorite athlete growing up was Ron Hextall, so that tells you all you need to know about my temper as a kid. But nowadays, I got three kids. I play at the club in Mimico, and I keep it pretty classy.
Nice.
Yeah. You don't want to be like pickleball. My friend Mark. I used to play tennis with my buddy Mark, who every time we played, I used to beat him a lot. Like, he just couldn't beat me for whatever reason, and he just got so frustrated, smashed his racket. But he bought like five every month or so from Amazon, just in preparation for knowing that he would be smashing his racket out of frustration. He's like, I don't care. They're like $20. I'm just going to smash it if I lose. And I'm like, well, better make another order, buddy. And I guess Shapovalov has no issue with rackets or the number that he has in his possession. So fortunate for him. All will be well. So we're hoping that Felix can make a run against Medvedev. And we're unfortunately have seen the end of Shapovalov's run in the Australian Open. But this is far from the end for the Canadian tennis contingent down at the Australian Open. And, I mean, that could very well change this time tomorrow, but we're hopeful that's not the case. Go ahead, Coco.
Just one last question. I wonder where Mike stands on the whole Djokovic situation. Obviously, not participating in this tournament, but what do you think the future is for him for the remaining year?
Yeah, nothing has kept me busier with media requests so far this year than that Djokovic saga, which is, you know, too bad that that was what was bringing tennis so much attention the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, I was kind of torn on it when it happened because the tournament did invite him down with a medical exemption. So regardless of my personal feelings on being vaccinated and doing your part, they did tell him to come on over, and then they, you know, kind of sequestered him and booted him out. So I can see why he was ticked off, but at the same point, could have made things easier on himself. Moving forward, what is each individual tournament going to do? What is each country going to do with their restrictions? I mean, we see here in Ontario, things are changing every few weeks. So what I say now could be totally different in Paris in 2 months for the French Open or in 5 months for Wimbledon. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But I don't see him changing his stance and suddenly going out and getting the jab, which is a real shame because his legacy is at risk and his ability to keep up with Nadal in the major cut count is also something that he's putting in jeopardy.
Yeah, Nadal's not beating Berrettini. Just a heads up. It's not happening. It's not happening. Remember, 43-1, Mike. 43-1. Berrettini is my ticket. That's my ticket to retirement. Okay. Maybe
well, all the best with that. It's been a blast listening to you all this time. Good luck in your future.
All right, thank you, Mike. He is Mike McIntyre. You know him from the Match Point Canada, the official podcast of Tennis Canada. You could follow him on Twitter at McIntyre Tennis. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. And Forza Azzurri. Let's go Berrettini. And Oshay Aliassime.
Thanks, boys. Take it easy.
All right. That's Mike.